at least as long as I've been here, and that's over 20 years, I've been hearing the word of God, and then a lot of you that even more than that can run circles around me for what you know about the Lord. But so what I have today is not new. It's just something that I think that we need to remember, okay? And I'll get into that in a second. You know, because it's tough for me to try to struggle to find something that kind of you guys would, I guess, enjoy or not even enjoy, but to get something from, because you hear it every week. But I'll do the best I can. And if you've heard any of my messages before, you know I try to find something that we can use in our daily lives, be it something we can think about or some perspective that we can have as far as what's going on there. And it hasn't changed with this. So I've got something to talk to you about. And I chose a topic that may be obvious to you born again Christians, but even to us believers, we find it difficult sometimes for us to believe in. And I'll get into that in a second. Before we get into that, though, let's say a word of prayer, please. My gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us in our lives. Thank you for bringing back our pastor safe and sound, Lord. And we continue to pray for him, pray for the whole ministry. Lord, we look forward to a wonderful time and teaching and messages today. And Lord, be with me as I try to deliver to the brothers and sisters in the church just a little nugget that they can carry home and use in their daily lives. So we thank you for all your blessings in Jesus' name. And amen. So let's look at a couple of familiar verses that's found in Isaiah. Isaiah 45, there's 5 and 6. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want. You can write them down or you can turn to them if you want, because I'm going to read them all, anything that I come up with, okay? 45, 5, and 6 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there's no one else. So the topic that I chose to discuss today is our understanding that God is in control. He's in control of everything. He's in control of it all the time and every time. And as we look at the state of the world and things that are going on in our lives, considering those kind of things, I think this is a pretty relevant subject for us to get our minds behind and know that no matter how cockamamie, how crazy this world is, the country, our lives, that God is in control of everything. And I'll go ahead and prove that point a little bit in a second. So anyway, I'm not going to be too specific about anything or some things. But there's a lot of things going on that cause us to wonder if God is even paying attention to some of the things that are happening in this world and some of the things that personally happening in our lives. And I'll touch on a couple of these. But look, in this sin-cursed world, it's not hard to think of dozens, if not hundreds, of situations that you're seeing and just in the back of your mind says, God, are you seeing all this? And how are you allowing all this craziness, this stuff to happen? Or even, why is this happening into my life, if you've got issues that are going on in your families? So the main objective of the lesson is just to put your mind at ease and to give you complete assurance that our great and wonderful Savior is well aware of every situation, everything that goes on around us, in our lives, in the world. And most importantly, he basically has full control of the situation and his will would be done in each one. So now for those of you who attended the Wednesday evening lesson put on from the pastor right before he went to Scotland a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, but he did an outstanding job summarizing some of the attributes of God. Of our great Savior. And coincidentally, it formed a wonderful, solid foundation. In fact, I thought I was going to have to change my subject matter again after he finished talking about it, because a lot of the points that he hit in his dovetails into what I'm talking about today, okay? And so you'll see, you have to, before you can understand anything else, you have to have an appreciation for the extraordinary power that our Lord has before we can wrap our minds around the idea that he sees and knows everything, okay? So just to give you a little brief recap of just some of the highlights from the pastor's discussion, one, he talked about the omnipotence of God. And basically in Isaiah, plenty of verses back that up, and I'll just read a few of them for you. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him." Psalms 145:3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Matthew 16, so both Old Testament and New Testament has all kinds of proclamations on how wonderful the Lord is. Matthew 16:26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And finally, Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing is impossible." Now, that's the omnipotence part. There's another part of how he knows everything from the past and present and can be in all places at one time, and it's called the omniscience of, past and present, just knowing, is called the omniscience of the Lord. And a couple of verses from there, Hebrews 4:13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for salvation and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then finally, he talked about the omnipresence of the Lord, how he can be everywhere. He knows everything. That was the omniscience. Now he can be everywhere. In Psalms 139:7-8, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Okay? So bottom line, there's nobody equal. There's nothing equal in our sphere of everything to the Lord. There's no one. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. And nothing gets past the Lord. He's aware of everything that's going on. And if he chooses to, he can make situations right. Here's the greatest news for us. Since we've chosen to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our great and mighty God dwells within us by way of the Holy Spirit. He knows our thoughts, he knows our desires, and stands ready to help us, assist us when we ask for his help or ask for his wisdom or whatever we need, he's there to help us. And it just befuddles me, a person is arrogant enough to say, "Oh no, I don't want to accept the Lord as your Savior." I said, "Really? Really?" I mean, that I'll get more into that in a second, but that just befuddles my mind, everything, to know that God lives within you, and all you have to ask, and he'll give you wisdom, he'll give you guidance. He may solve your problems if he chooses to, and you decide to reject him. So having that confidence, let me make sure I got it. Okay, And having that confidence can get us through any situation that we face here on this earth. Because we know that the Lord is in control of our lives, and whatever happens is His will, and here's the best part of the story. Once we make it through this little brief journey that we're on this planet, we get to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior and the saints in the saints in heaven. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And of course, our favorite verse is John 3:16, which this basically says, God loved the world that he gave his son, and whoever believes in him will never perish and will have everlasting life. So, you know, with that great news, whatever, let it go on, you know, enjoy, get some popcorn and enjoy the what's going on in the world, okay? But you have to look at things that are going on in your life and the things that are going on in the world and just feel like everything's just totally out of control. Some questions may pop up in your mind like, why are these kind of things happening the way they are? And why are these bad things happening to good, innocent people? Or why is my life so much of a full of struggle and despair? And you know, is the world really spinning out of control? Regardless of the chaotic things that may be happening into the world and in our lives, understand that God is on the throne and he's in complete control of every situation out there. Few things to understand before we can really answer the questions that were raised above. First of all, on this earth, man is inherently sinful, thinking more of their self than anything else. So they'll rob, kill, hurt their fellow people to bolster their own interests, okay? Furthermore, there are a whole lot more unsaved people on this planet than that have not been exposed to the rigors of the training about the right thinking of Jesus like you guys have, and learning more and more about our Lord. So their whole outlooks on life and their morals totally differ from the way we think. In fact, you wouldn't even associate with pretty much with a lot of them because some of the corrupt thinking that they're thinking about. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? Secondly, Satan is alive and well on this earth and is looking for who he can devour. And especially us as believers in Christ, because he's jealous, because he knows we're going to get eternal life, that he will try to do, and I'll get into it, he'll try to do everything he can to make our lives on this earth miserable, okay? 1 Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and especially us, okay? And the third thing we got to keep in mind is God gave every man free will. And sometimes the consequences of our choices that they make can ultimately wind up hurting themselves or other people, okay? And I know there's tons more things you can add to this list. Just for the interest of time, I wanted to just stop at these three. So we need to understand that we were put on this earth to live a God-centered life, trusting in him in all things, enjoying all the comforts that he provides us with, and telling other folks about the Lord Jesus so they can have the same opportunities to live a godly life with the assurance of inheriting in their eternal life with God. Okay. To me, life is like a roller coaster. It's filled with wonderful, joyous times, and that's going up the roller coaster. And then comes down into some of the unhappy, sad days, sad times, which is down the bottom of the roller coaster. They call it peaks and valleys, you know, different analogies you can use. But then sometimes life throws you a real zinger. And I'm not meaning zingers in a positive way. Usually they're not good. Some unexpected event, turn in your life, arises in your life that will potentially could change the course of your lives. And now, they're going to happen to people, not everybody, but, and I'm not saying that don't look for them, but be mentally prepared to accept them if they come your way. Because once again, remember, God is in control, not you, okay? And we just got to keep our minds on that as we live this daily life, that things happen, things arise that you don't anticipate. And we'll talk about how to deal with them in a second. But each of us, no matter who we are, will experience some of these things in a lifetime. We'll experience happy times. We'll experience sad times with losses of loved ones, things that go on. And we may even get some zingers. We pray that we don't. But if we do, mentally be ready for them. But oh, by the way, remember that old Satan is still out there. He's laying snares and traps in our path every chance he gets. And these snares could be something as small as the inconvenience of your car breaking down at an inopportune time. You don't have money to afford from. But it could be something as big as a sudden loss of a loved one. And just things you got to just be prepared for if that happens. And we'll discuss what we can do to combat Satan in a minute. But I just say, beware of his traps and snares. There's all kinds of different. I think of scenarios of these young boys chasing these young girls. That's a trap and snare that Satan has put out there for them. Or just, I don't know, hanging with wrong people. I'll talk about there's so many traps and snares laid by Satan that can just trip us up and just upend our life that you can't count them all. But we should ask God daily to give us the wisdom to avoid these traps, these snares, as many of them as we can anyway. Many of the problems in our lives, unfortunately, we bring upon ourselves. And being free will, and we can choose to avoid them, like driving while intoxicated, or fornication, which may lead to an unwanted pregnancy, hanging out with immoral or crazy people, unsaved people, or intentionally breaking the law, messing with drugs, or a list goes on and on of things that we do to self-sabotage ourselves. But that's just a few of the many traps and things that God, Satan puts in our way to try to trip us up to potentially change the course of our life. And once again, these things are under our control, but unfortunately, there's a lot of things that can happen that are not under our control. But but I warn you that Satan is constantly trying to tempt you and to lure you to do something that will impact you negatively, and like I said, especially being saved Christians. And he can't do anything about the promise of our eternal life in heaven, but he'll try his best to make it miserable for us here as possible as he can. So beware and be warned and ask God to give you the wisdom to recognize that deceit and resist the wiles of the devil. And then you have the things in your life that you have no control over, and some of them are sudden, a lot of them are painful to endure, and many you don't even see coming, the death of a loved one, a health issue that arises that you didn't have before. Friends and family members doing reckless things with their lives. People that you love, and you're watching them go down, you know, downhill, and some untimely accident. You can't predict them. But when you're faced with some of those situations, you have to remain strong in the faith, pray unceasingly, and keep in the back of the mind that God is in full control of this matter, and then turn it over to him. I won't say you don't remember it and still be sad or whatever, but give it to God to fix. Say your prayer and watch him work. Realize that you are very limited in what you can do by yourself to fix problems, any problems, even our own problems a lot of times, okay? So pray Turn it over to God. Don't get so emotionally entangled in all the different crap that's going on out there that it affects your life and your health and your mental well-being, okay? So let's pause for a second. Look, I understand. Easier said than done, Brother John. There are many times in your life that things happen that really, really make you wonder if God is up there listening or paying any attention to us and the things that are going on in our lives. I got that, okay? And it's sometimes really, really hard to believe that God is in control of all this craziness that's going on, that he would allow events going on, people kill children starving, etc. The things that you see on the end, but this is when you have to say and believe with all your heart that God is in complete control of the situation and his will be done, and turn it over to him. And lastly, what do you do if we have, what we can do, because we have an arsenal of things to combat Satan and his efforts to destroy us. First of all and foremost is our salvation. That's the smartest decision any human being on this earth can do, is to choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe that with all my heart, and will do everything I can to share that sentiment to people that I know, loved ones, friends, strangers, it doesn't matter, okay? I think that was the rightest decision you can do, because with that salvation, you carry God in your heart, in your mind. He's watching you for the rest of your life. And then anytime you need him, you can have access to him. You can ask anything and he will hear you. And then you got the extra bonus that after we pass on from this life, we get to live with God and as saints throughout eternity. Unfortunately, we're all faced with loved ones in our lives who don't accept this free will, free gift of salvation. I'm not saying to be happy with it or satisfied with it. It's actually painful to have to deal with, but you have to accept the fact that just like us, they have free will to decide whether they want to make that decision or not. And you can't make them do it. I don't care. You can love them. They could be your son, your husband, or whatever. You can love them and pray for them, but you can't make them do anything they're not willing to do themselves, okay? So you just keep setting the example. You pray that one day the Holy Spirit will draw them to him. I would recommend one of the techniques is get them to come to church as often as you can. You put them in this environment, eventually they're going to crack. I don't know what to call it, crack. But anyway, they're going to see the light, okay? I mean, you can't be with this kind of teaching week after week, year after year, and not change your heart for the better. The hardest part is getting them here. Some are, oh, I don't want to go. I'll be all right. I'll worship here alone. But anyway, you pray. You ask God's intervention in the situation, because, like I said, once they get in here, the Holy Spirit has a way of drawing people to you, you know? Okay, so they got the best chance working on their heart and drawing them to you. Third thing, have faith and understand that God is in control, that he will make every situation, whatever it is, turn out the way he wants it to, not the way you want it to, okay? So, boy, God, you can just take this thing in the Middle East and just turn it upside down. God doesn't work that way. He's going to watch the situation unless he wants to, okay? Unless he wants to. And this gives you the strength and courage to accept whatever decisions God makes with loved ones, with finances, with me, with my health, etc. What his will be the that's it, you know? Pray unceasingly and tell him what you want, and then sit back and watch the Lord work, or watch his answer. And the last thing, I just alluded to it, the church is a powerful weapon. We're surrounded by a body of believers of like faith that stay out of trouble, and it will keep you and the people that we bring here out of trouble. They won't get in trouble while in here, except they'll learn how right thinking, how to live godly, okay? Which basically tries to eliminate as much sin as we can out of our lives. So anyway, that's the biggest message I wanted to leave you with, is God is in control every time, anytime, no matter what. Because he lives in us, we can call upon him anytime, every time, ask him what we need. Yes, no, maybe, but he hears us, okay? And then finally, I want to leave you with these verses from Romans. Romans 5, 1 through 5, 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, trouble, trials, things that are going on also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. I hope it helped. Like I said, anything goes on in your life, that back of your mind says, God's got this. God is in control. Say a quick prayer and move out of the way, because you're not going to fix it. He's going to fix it, okay? And I thank you for your time. Let's say a word of prayer, and we'll press on with the rest of the service. I'm sorry how short it was with this. I'm just pointing. I tell you what I want you to tell you, and then I get off the podium here, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to articulate this. I hope the brothers and sisters gain something from it. Lord, I ask you to watch over all our lives. In these crazy times, we know we got to trust you and your judgment and what you're willing to allow to happen and whatnot. We ask you to intercede in our houses, in our homes, in our loved ones, in ourselves, and continue to watch over us. And your grace and might and power and stuff be bestowed upon us and our loved ones, Lord. Be with this country, be with the world itself, Lord, as we watch you just work through all the different situations out there. So we thank you for your blessings, and we look forward to the rest of the service, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.